Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas. Coming up later on in the program, we'll have a review of the new Ben Affleck-directed thriller Argo. But right now, on the musical portion of the program, we're actually going to feature music from films starring Mr. Ben Affleck. And we're going to begin by going back to 1997 and the film that sort of... not launched the career, but launched Ben Affleck and his co-star Matt Damon into the Hollywood A-list, movie directed by Gus Van Sant called Good Will Hunting, featuring a score by Danny Elfman. Let's take a listen. Charming score by Danny Elfman, written for Good Will Hunting. Moving along to a considerably less successful film that Affleck starred in, this is the score by composer John Powell for the romantic comedy Forces of Nature. Thank you. music written for the romantic comedy Forces of Nature by composer John Powell. Next up, a score for another comedy, this one written by the esteemed Howard Shore for what's still probably the most ambitious movie directed by Kevin Smith, a religion-themed comedy called Dogma. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
Rather good music by Howard Shore, written for Dogma. Next up, a score I've always really liked, despite the fact it was written for a genuinely terrible movie. This is Hans Zimmer's lovely score for Michael Bay's Pearl Harbor. Thank you. That's music by Hans Zimmer, written for Pearl Harbor. Next up, a stunning piece written by Jerry Goldsmith, one of the finest pieces of the final years of his career, written for the Tom Clancy thriller The Sum of All Fears.
Thank you.
terrific piece of film music by Jerry Goldsmith, written for The Sum of All Fears. Next up, we move along to Mr. Graham Revell and his piece for Ben Affleck's ill-advised venture into the world of superheroes when he played Daredevil back in 2003. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas. We're featuring music from the films of actor and director Ben Affleck on the program today. Next up, music, and reasonably decent music, from Affleck's most notorious bomb, Gigli, by Mr. John Powell. Let's take a listen. Music from Gigli by John Powell, who also penned the next score we're about to feature on the program. This is his entertaining action score for the John Woo thriller Paycheck.
We'll be right back.
Music from Paycheck, one of John Woo's least memorable films, but another solid effort from John Powell in the musical department. Next up, music from Joe Carnahan's Smokin' Aces, in which Affleck played a memorable supporting role. The music by Clint Mansell. Piece by Clint Mansell, written for Smokin' Aces. Last but not least, we move along to the great Alexandre Desplat and a score written for a movie we'll be reviewing in just a few minutes. This is music written for Argo. Let's take a listen. Thank you. Some rather nice music from Alexander Desplat, and a good deal warmer than usual for the composer, written for Argo, which we now review on the program. It seems like only yesterday that Ben Affleck was a punchline in Hollywood. After a string of dull leading man performances in unmemorable films, gossip magazine columnists across the nation were eager to nail the coffin shut on Affleck's career. But the only thing Hollywood loves as much as crucifying a celebrity is bringing one back from the dead. Affleck's surprisingly nuanced performance in the otherwise mediocre Hollywoodland earned him some critical respect, and his stellar directorial debut, Gone Baby Gone, suggested that he might have an even more promising career behind the camera. After Affleck delivered his compelling crime drama, The Town, there was a general consensus that the man was now one of the hottest directors in Hollywood. While I disagree with the notion that Affleck is a genuinely great filmmaker, I do feel that he's something even more rare, a good nuts-and-bolts storyteller. In some ways, Affleck's work as a director is comparable to the work of Clint Eastwood. There aren't any flashy visual signatures or innovative techniques which signal who exactly is behind the camera, but there's a level of sturdy craftsmanship, thoughtfulness, professionalism, and attention to detail which makes the whole thing feel a notch or two above average. That's certainly the case with Argo, Affleck's compelling dramatization of a daring rescue mission conducted in 1980. Affleck plays a CIA operative who's tasked with getting 6 American hostages out of Iran during a time of great political turmoil. The mission is so difficult that the best the CIA has come up with so far involves each hostage riding a bicycle for 300 miles. One night while watching Battle of the Planet of the Apes, Affleck is struck with an idea. What if he travels to Iran under the pretense that he's a movie producer doing some location scouting for a science fiction epic? It seems absurd, but to quote Affleck's boss, played by a smarmy Bryan Cranston, "It's the best bad idea we have." To accomplish his mission, Affleck must recruit the services of esteemed makeup artist John Chambers, played by John Goodman, and hotshot producer Lester Siegel, played by Alan Arkin. Argo might look like a slightly uncomfortable mashup between playful Hollywood satire and tense political thriller, but the two mesh with surprising ease. The Hollywood material is frisky and fun, bringing a lightness to the first half of the film which makes the eventual journey into darker dramatic territory all the more effective. While the movie takes a bit of pulse-pounding dramatic license during the climax, it never goes far enough to undermine the film's appealingly convincing tone, a tone enhanced by the side-by-side images presented during the end credits, which suggests that Affleck went to great pains to recapture things as they really happened as closely as possible. That knowledge makes some of the film's more fantastical bits of information all the more delightful, such as the reveal that comic book genius Jack Kirby created the storyboards for the fake sci-fi flick. The performances are strong across the board, though it must be admitted that the film is so loaded with talented actors that many gifted folks are shortchanged. People like Kyle Chandler, Philip Baker Hall, Bob Gunton, Michael Parks, and Victor Garber come and go so quickly that their performances barely qualify as cameos. Alan Arkin and John Goodman seem to be having a blast and share a frisky, funny rapport with each other. Bryan Cranston delivers some of the film's sharpest lines as Affleck's boss, most of which are unrepeatable here, and Affleck himself turns in a steady, no-frills performance which serves the film quite well. While Argo is more concerned with being a satisfactory piece of entertainment for grown-ups than it is with being a message movie, there are nonetheless some thoughts which linger with you in spite of, or perhaps because of, the fact that they're delivered so quietly. In one scene, a potentially deadly encounter with security guards is diffused with a handful of those aforementioned storyboards. It's a scene which speaks to the universal power of movies. Few things cross cultural borders quite so well as alien spaceships and ray guns. The film's portrait of the CIA isn't a million miles removed from the image of British intelligence presented by John le Carré. The biggest victories for these men usually involve working around red tape. There's also a lovely, brief moment between Affleck and his wife, which sums up their previously unexamined relationship in just a few seconds. It's those little touches which allow the generally exceptional Argo to make just a bit more of an impression than it might have otherwise. It's yet another winner from Affleck, which proves satisfying on every level. I give it a rating of 3.5 stars out of 4. And that concludes our time together on the program today. I do hope you've enjoyed the show and that you'll join us again next week for more music and movie reviews. In the meantime, have a great week, everyone. Back at you later.
She may be the face I can't forget, a trace of pleasure or regret. Maybe my treasure or the price I have to pay. She may be the song that summer sings, maybe the chill that autumn brings, maybe 100 different things within the measure of a day. She may be the beauty of the beast, maybe the famine or the feast, may turn each day into a heaven or a hell. She may be the mirror of my dream, a smile reflected in a stream. She may not be what she may seem inside her shell. She who always seems so happy, the clown's eyes are private and so brown, no one's allowed to see them when they cry. She may be the love that cannot hope to last, may come to me from shadows of the past that I remember till the day I die. She may be the reason I survive, the why and wherefore I'm alive, the one I'll care for through the rough and rainy years. Me, I'll take her laughter and her tears and make them all my souvenirs. For where she goes, I got to be. The meaning of my life is she.